This world is practically perceived by us. Where from it has come. Unless a reconciliation is found for this controversy, our delicious doctrine cannot be kept intact. Many types of thoughts arose in their minds during the process of thinking for it. In that way, the action or activity can be accepted of the inactive Brahman. Oh, in what way the action or activity can be accepted of the inactive Brahman? Right? How do you look at it that Brahman is the cause of everything, but at the same time Brahman does nothing? How do you work that out? Right? That's the question. Moreover, the principle of monism should not be mutilated by accepting any other principle than the Brahman. Right? So since they're taking it, it's all one, it's all Brahman, therefore you cannot have any other explanation than Brahman. Right? It's a very simple, even though this is the fun part, right? Monism is like the, what do you call it? The doctrine of the jnanis, right? The intellectuals. But isn't it just so simple? It's all one. It's just Brahman. Brahman's a cause of, so it's very simple. So you would think that that would be something for your common people and your, what do you call it? Your intelligent ones, then they would have a bit of a more sophisticated development. They can accommodate many contradictory elements, right? But they can't. Can you hear there? Otherwise, you can come in. You can hear?
Okay.
You can come in. Like that. Maybe you guys move a little bit more this way. Maybe you have a little bit more space. You can sit here. In the course of thinking, at first it was decided that if the Brahman is endowed with a bit of transformational power, perhaps the monism may not get mutilated. Right? If you just give it a little bit, then it won't get mutilated. Right? It may be attributed that Brahman itself is the transformation of the object. Okay, because otherwise then you're going to get that Brahman itself is some transformation. Right? I mean, something is there and then there's a transformation of that. When the above conclusion was about to be accepted, another Advaitavada said that it is not proper to agree with a defect of the Brahman. If the Brahman is said to be transformable, the previously mentioned qualities will not remain intact. Instead of transformation, a theory of illusion, Vivartavada, may be accepted. So we're Parinamavada. Vivartavada is the other. Since Brahman is immutable, his transformation is impossible. If we accept the location of Brahman in place of reality, as well as a secondary aspect of illusion, there is no principal reality. Our doctrine will become foolproof. Right? So, can we see a parallel that's going on now? With the monotheistic, you see, is that you have your supreme, but the problem is because the supreme is deified to the point it actually has absolutely nothing to do with the material world, right? Then you have to have a second principle that deals with the material world. Understand? So the monist, then Brahman is the supreme. And illusion is the secondary principle that creates everything and controls the material world. Right? While the other is then God is the supreme principle. And then you have Satan, which is the secondary principle. Right? You understand? So they're always going to end up with this because they're placing the supreme as being beyond the material creation, which is fine, but at the same time not interactive with it at all. I'm saying through his energies, he's not getting something done. So that's the difficulty that comes in. Does this make sense? So they all have this problem, both the karmas and the jnanis. Right? So they have to come up with this double principle. So even though they're saying there's only one principle, But they're ending up with two. You understand? They're still ending up with two. So they're not actually pure. Because a pure modus, it's all Brahman. It's just an illusion to think that it's not Brahman. So they don't think that the wall doesn't exist, it's just Brahman. You understand? But there is the element of the monist, what we're discussing here, which think this wall actually doesn't exist, we just all think it exists. Like that, because it's an illusion. Actually, there's only Brahman. So they can't accept this, so then they say there's a transformation, there's an illusion. Rather than everything's Brahman, whatever shape or form, so it doesn't matter. You understand? So that's the pure Brahmavad. So the Brahmavadi can easily take up devotional service because they're accepting everything's just transcendental. They don't make a distinction between material and spiritual. Right? So here then, so they will be able to, the door would be open to make a distinction within spiritual. Right? Because if everything's spiritual, therefore there's variety in spiritual. So therefore they can accept the actual variety. The Lord's, you know, the name for qualities and pastimes. While the others, they don't actually accept that there's a variety here. They say it's all illusion. So they won't actually be able to accept Bhagavan because then you're dealing with spiritual variety. Does that make sense? Right? That's why it's the Mayavadis go to the darkest regions. Right? Like that. More than the Karmis, because the Karmis at least accept the basic principle of which relationship with Godhead happens, right? That you're people and there's emotions and there's senses and there's happiness and just all these different things are there. But these monists, they don't make that part of it. It's all illusion. So spiritual, it means it has no form or qualities or anything. So therefore, there can't be transcendental relationship with God. Makes sense. Right? Since Brahman is immutable, his transformation is impossible. If we accept the location of Brahman in place of reality, as well as the secondary aspect of illusion, where there is no principal reality, our doctrine will become foolproof. Due to the illusory idea of a rope as a snake, the various feelings of fear, etc., are generated. The illusory knowledge of pearl shell as silver produces feeling like hope, etc. Therefore, if this theory of illusion, Vivarta, is accepted, there will not arise any drawback of the Brahman. At the same time, it will be proved that this world is an illusion and is attributable only to the ignorance. Still, they don't explain where ignorance has come from. If everything is Brahman, where would you get ignorance? Right, so there's a lot of holes in their philosophy. Like that. World is not existent. Life is not existent. Brahman alone is existent, and the perception of this world is only a pretense. By specially thinking over this pretense, different wordings of avidya, maya, etc., are available from the lexicon. Right, so that this pretense of how it can be a pretense. So if we just say pretense, then that obviously people would say no, but what about this? What about that? Right? But if you use other words from the dictionary that have the similar meaning, then you say maya, you say ignorance, you say, you know, illusion, then it takes on a mystical kind of thing, so then people are willing to believe it. Like, if it's mystical, then that means my intellect can't penetrate, it must be something higher. Right? But it doesn't require faith. It's just you're dealing only with intellect. You know what I'm saying? So as soon as faith comes in, then immediately they say, oh, that's just sentiment. You know, it has to be intellectual. But the point is this mysticalness is also not intellectual. It's not practical. It's not logical.
Since the pretense cannot be held as a separate object, the singleness of the object could be achieved by this theory. Right? In other words, you can't have in reality, in the doctrine, two things.
So you can't have Brahman and illusion, which is the natural, you know, materialistic approach. So they have to then take it that it's actually the illusion is just an illusion. So there is only Brahman. So it's an illusion that there's not Brahman. But they still explain away so many things by this. Does that make sense? So it, practically speaking, there is two. Right? But they're just wording it in such a way that it's only one. And that way then their doctrine stays intact. The object is spiritual, whereas pretense is pragmatic. This was ascertained by them. When the pragmatic intelligence becomes defeated by the spiritual knowledge, the pretense will get destroyed and the singleness of the object will be achieved, thereby presenting salvation, mukti. Right? So that's their idea, is that means the object is spiritual, while pretense is practical. Right? So, but with, through intelligence, pragmatic intelligence. Okay, they're separating here. You have the pragmatic intelligence, that's what's perceiving the illusion. So when that is defeated by spiritual knowledge, then you'll only see Brahman and everything like that. Strange that they don't bump into walls and stuff like that. You know, they can carry on nice conversations, they can decide that to speak in an assembly, what words to use, you know, what they like to eat. So it's kind of amazing that they can be realized and do all these mundane things at the same time. Because according to their philosophy, once you understood the Brahman, you wouldn't see any of these other things. It would just be all one. But somehow the lunch is still there. Like that. So it's 32. In the meanwhile, another group of scholars thought that the doctrine of pretense is not very realistic. Right, so he's showing that monism has always been there, because in the Vedic literatures and the Upanishads, as we've seen, they'll use so many things about the world as illusion. Someone who understands this goes beyond; they become deathless. All these different things. So they're using those as a basis, though they're not taking the whole statement. They're not taking that the next statement. He says, you know, he walks; he does not walk. Okay, they're saying he does not walk. But they also, he says, he walks. Right? So they're only taking part of it. Does that make sense? So with that, it sounds nice. It's very simple. Material existence is the problem. They want to extinguish their own existence. They have that will make them happy. Everything else I do makes me unhappy. So therefore, if I get rid of existence, then I'll be happy. But still, it's them as an individual is wanting to be happy. Right? Because if it's all one, what would be the need, and unchangeable and no feelings, then why do you need to be happy in the first place? They're saying, why the drive for happiness? Why that striving for upliftment or liberation? Right? It's the need of the soul. Otherwise, if it's all illusion, why does illusion need, you know, such a thing? Saturday morning cartoons, do they need to be happy? You know what I'm saying? They just exist. That makes sense? Like that. So that's the whole point. Illusion doesn't need anything. So that they need something, then it shows that there's something behind it. For people. In the meanwhile, another group of scholars thought that the doctrine of pretense is not very realistic. They say that the pretense of world has arisen by depending upon another type of pretense known as jivas. If jivas are called as separate principles, it will hamper the monism. Therefore, jiva itself is a pretense. Right? These scholars divided themselves into two groups, and two different views were developed. The one group said that Brahman is comparable with the open space, and the jiva is perceived just as a portion of the space remaining in a vessel. The second group objected this theory and argued that the Brahman gets mutilated according to this theory, because you can separate it off and it's not transformable. You know what I'm saying? If you have this pot and it's in this space, so some of the space in here is in that pot. Right? So for one group of monists, they say the space in the pot and the space outside the pot are the same space. The only thing that difference is the pot itself. So if you break the pot, it'll all be the one, like that. So, but the other group of monists will say, but that means then Brahman is transformable. You could actually take a portion of it and separate it off. So if it's actually just all one, if it's true Brahman, then that can't happen. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you get these two groups. Yes.
Where would they put the pot?
That's illusion. It doesn't actually exist. So if that's true, if it doesn't exist, means it's never actually been separated in the first place. But that's the whole problem with these things, is that you're dealing with the conditioned intelligence. So they're saying, well, you have conditioned intelligence, then there's spiritual knowledge. But their spiritual knowledge is being perceived through material intelligence. They do not have any spiritual qualifications to look at it from. So they're still going to look at it from the mundane platform. And because of this, then it's always going to be confusing.
Yeah.
It just has to be. How come they don't realize?
They have mundane intelligence. How do they think they have transcendental?
Because they don't want to acknowledge that there's a supreme person and they're his servant. Right, because by monism, you can maintain I am the controller and enjoyer. Right, by monotheism, I am the controller and enjoyer. Right, all these other philosophies up to now that we've been studying, you can maintain the concept I am controller and enjoyer. I may have to bring my control and enjoyment in line with higher authorities. You know, being good, being nice, God's laws, whatever it may be. You know, controlling the senses, not being involved in material illusion, like that. So therefore, but in all cases, then they can maintain being the controller of the joy. But the constitutional philosophy means that has to be given up. So someone who is in this philosophy looking for something, and they're actually sincere, when they come across the Vaishnava philosophy, they can accept it. Right? Sugadeva Goswami could accept it, the Four Kumaras could accept it. Because they're actual sincere seekers of the truth. But most people, they just want to be God. They want to be the Supreme. They have their own purposes. Therefore, they do not, even though it's obvious, they won't accept it, can't accept it. Does that make sense? Yeah? So you're dealing with it. Otherwise, why doesn't the Karmi take up Krishna consciousness? Is that he doesn't want to not be the controller and enjoyer. So the same way as the monist, he wants to be a controller and enjoyer. He's given up illusion, he becomes Brahman, and he enjoys Brahmananda. Right? It's just applied in a different way, but it's not different.
So their idea
of becoming free from illusion is just an intellectual, like, just their whole point is that you've just accepted this. It's a pretense. This doesn't actually exist. Everybody's agreeing with it. You know, strange, everybody can see the same wall. So who controls that? Who makes that work? Otherwise, everybody would be in their own unique little illusion. You know what I'm saying? So why is it the illusion is so common that everybody can see it? Even the bird sees it, right? It flies around. You know what I'm saying? Like that. The second group objected this theory and argued that the Brahman gets mutilated according to this theory. Instead of accepting the jiva as the very portion of Brahman, got mutilated due to Maya, may be taken as a reflection of the Brahman. It may be imagined as a reflection of sunlight or the reflection of the moon in water. The jiva being an apparent principle of illusion, it also supposes this primordial world due to nature of avidya. Oh, I see. The jiva being an apparent principle of illusion, it also supposes this primordial world due to the nature of avidya. So one group is saying is that the jiva is Brahman, but somehow or another by illusions that separate it off. But then this other group complains that that's a transformation of Brahman, so that that won't work. Then they're presenting that, therefore it is just like you have the sun and then it'll be reflected on water. So then it doesn't actually exist there. There is no sun in the water, you just think it does, so that's the illusion. So therefore you get rid of that illusion, then it's always just the sun, right? But the problem is to say that the jiva doesn't exist, and the jiva itself is an illusion. One says it's not an illusion, one says it is, right? So then if the jiva is an illusion, but that means then there has to be the material energy or the water for it to be reflected on. Because the material, if jiva is a reflection, then that means there has to be something it reflects off of. So how would substance reflect off of something? You know what I'm saying? So the problem is then in that case, they don't accept the nature of the jiva, but they have to accept the material world to explain the position of the jiva. You know what I'm saying? So in either case, they have a problem. Right? Now the reality is that Brahman is the one without second. The jiva soul and the world are not quite different from him. A great blunder is inherently existing in these doctrines, which is not seen or not wanted to be seen by those scholars blinded due to their own dogmatism. Right, so that answers it. It's not seen, either they're so caught up in the rules or they don't want to see it, because then they'd have to give up their own philosophy. The blunder is that the Brahman is an absolute principle and there is no other separate principle than it. Until and unless the unthinkable potency of that Brahman is accepted, all the previously determinations become insignificant. Right, so in other words, if Brahman has potency, right, Brahman exists, it's eternal, all those qualities they give to it are there, but at the same time it has potency. So even the Brahman is a Chintabheda Veda Tattva. Right? Brahman is just, you know, one. But at the same time, it has qualities, it has potency. You know what I'm saying? So because it is Krishna, therefore it can't function different than him. So he is simultaneously one with everything at the same time different. So the Brahman also is just one homogeneous, but at the same time there it has potency, it has qualities. So you're good to get. So when that is understood, then this whole philosophy goes out the window. Because they're working on it that it doesn't have any of this, therefore then nothing can function. One is imagining amaya, another is imagining avidya. Right? One is saying illusion, one is saying ignorance. It's just ignorant that you think it's like that. The other one, well, there's an illusion that you think it's like that. The third person imagines a pretense, and the fourth one accepts the pretense of a pretense. When this be the case, how the powerless Brahman can be established as an absolute principle? Okay, so one is saying Maya, one is Avidya, then one is saying is that there's a pretense. It's not actually, it's not that there's a potency or illusion that is there, everybody thinks it's there. It's actually just a game, a play. Like sometimes you ask them, well, why is it here? Why would Brahman? Oh, pastimes. You know, like that. And the other is a pretense of a pretense. That it can't really be a pretense, because then you're saying Maya has substance. So it's a pretense of a pretense. You know what I'm saying?
So the Brahman has no activity because he's dependent.
Yes, but at the same time as he's not involved, so that's why they have to have a second principle. And all of them, they had a second principle to make it so that the first principle is not compromised. The first principle can't have any other qualities, and it's the absolute all-pervading. But to do that, then to explain the material world, you have to have a second principle, which they all don't accept exists. Therefore, they'll say it is Maya, it is ignorance, it is a pretense, or it's a pretense of a pretense.
who's pretending?
These are all the problems, yes. Who's pretending? That's the whole point. And so some will say, well, the jiva doesn't actually exist. Right? So then even that's a pretense. The other one saying he exists is he's under in illusion. Or he's in ignorance. He doesn't realize who he is. Or he's an illusion about who he is. And the other one is it's a pretense because it's not even there in the first place. You know, but then the pretense has substance, so then you have to have a pretense of a pretense. You know, like, does that make sense? So the difficulty, they all have to come up with a second principle to explain the philosophy. Because otherwise, if it was going to be compromised, then they wouldn't need a second principle to explain it, according to their philosophy, the monistic philosophy. We don't take that. We take that it's simultaneously one and different at the same time. So for us, the second principle is automatically part of the first principle. If the first principle is there, it means there'll be a second, and the second can't exist without the first. But there is a superiority. So because their problem is that there's something else, then that becomes, it's two things. We're saying there's two things, but still there's only actually one. Right? Because everything's Krishna, but at the same time, his energies are non-different from him. So he exists with his energies, but his energies are dependent upon him, so he's superior to the energies. Like that. But for him to be superior to the energies means he has to be a person and be in control. He has to be active, have qualities. So the monist wouldn't be able to accept that. They couldn't say, well, Brahman is the superior principle, and therefore Maya is the junior principle. Because that would mean there's a relationship, and that would mean, how is Maya controlled? Where does he get a potency? It's from Brahman, so there must be some interaction. Right? So then they can't accept that. So they're taking it just, the jiva thinks there's something else there, but there isn't actually.
These doctrines are certainly showing the mutilation of the monism, right? So even though they're working so hard to see that it doesn't get mutilated, then all they can do is do that, because that's all they're working with. They're working with the material intelligence, though they're claiming it's spiritual, right? But it's still material, because it's not, it's atheistic. It only becomes spiritual when it's connected to the Supreme Lord.
If the inconceivable potency of the Brahman is accepted, the Brahman remains really absolute, and there occurs no necessity of inventing separate principles.
Right.
It means if he has potency, then he can stay as he is. But if they make it without potency, then they have to create this whole other thing. But then where does that come from? Where does he get his potency? You know, energy works by having a source. You know, energy doesn't just come from nowhere. Like that.
The objective potency is never different from the object itself. The mutually opposite qualities of mutation and
immutation.
Heard that one before?
Mutation and the mutually opposite qualities of mutation and immutation, form and formless, distinction and non-distinction, etc., simultaneously remain in the Supreme without any contradiction, due to the power of his inconceivable potency.
Right? Because his potency, his inconceivable potency, allows this to happen. That's why that achintya, it is inconceivable. Because it's his potency, he can do that. We don't have that potency, therefore it's incomprehensible to us. But he's God, so it's not. That's just what makes him God. Right? If we could do it, then we'd be God. But we can't do it, so we're not God. He's God. Right?
Since the human reasoning is quite limited, it cannot properly realize the inconceivable potency of the Lord. By the dint of defective human reasoning, it is proper to discard the... By the dint of defective human reasoning,
it is proper to discard the inconceivable potency. Oh. Is it proper? By the dint of defective human reasoning, is it proper to discard the inconceivable potency of the Supreme?
And they're using these very, like, fancy, like, old British grammar, but without using commas. So you can't tell how they're... It's a question, but he's making a statement and then asking a question on that statement in the same sentence. So, you know, that's why sometimes it's... The reading may not actually come out the same. It's only when you get to the end of the sentence that you figure out it's a question.
The greatness of the Brahman. All right, in other words, by defective human intelligence, then can you, because of that, disregard the Lord's potency? Right? You can say, oh, it's not logical, but you're working with defective logic, defective intelligence. So with that, can you disregard something that's actually transcendental? That's the point. Mundane intelligence can't understand the contradictions of the transcendental qualities, the transcendental nature. So therefore, the material intelligence can't be used to decide whether spiritual has qualities or not, has potencies or not. Does that make sense? Right? Means if you're working with something, it's just like if you have a thermometer that doesn't work well, it doesn't give proper readings, can you actually therefore say that the weather is in a particular condition and therefore say it's nice or not? No, because it's defective. Right? They might say it's very hot when it's not, or it's cold when it's hot. So based on the information gained from it, you can't make a decision. So therefore, since the material intelligence can't enter the spiritual platform, then it's not enough to, through material intelligence, decide that the spiritual doesn't exist. It means in this way. Right? The spiritual doesn't have potency. His potency means qualities. The greatness of Brahman, endowed with inconceivable potency, is infinitely superior to that of the non-distinct Brahman. The Brahman endowed with Parashakti, supreme potency, is known as Parabrahman. We are the votaries of that Parabrahman. The powerless and non-distinct Brahman is only a remote aspect of the Parabrahman. In this case, the thinking of featureless Brahman by discarding Parabrahman is only the result of a defective intelligence. The undifferentiated monism cannot satisfy the sincere reasoning. It is unable to present a reconciliation of all the thoughts of the Vedas, and at the same time is quite incapable of providing ultimate well-being of the jivas. Right, so they're taking is this monistic Brahman that they're talking about is only an aspect of Parabrahman. Right, because Brahman is a general principle, meaning Brahman means that it is the substance from which it's made. Right, Krishna is Brahman. So if he expands everything, everything would still be Brahman. Right, so if you understand that Krishna and means the creation is Brahman, right? Then there's no illusion. Does that make sense? But we're accepting here that this Parabrahman then has Parashakti. Right? Para means transcendental. Right? So Parabrahman and Parashakti. So the transcendental Brahman has transcendental potency. And through that, then so many things happen. So it's only a quality of Brahman that it's formless and this and that. That's one of the qualities of it. But it's not the position, the actual position of Brahman. Does that make sense? Yes? So the material world is also Brahman. It's just inferior Brahman. Spiritual world is superior to that Brahman. The jiva is in between these two Brahman. And Krishna is beyond all this Brahman as the Parabrahman. Right? So everything else is Brahman, but he is Parabrahman. So that means he's transcendental to Brahman. So this monistic idea, then Krishna's, his Brahman potency is transcendental to that. Because it's the source of the qualities of all these other aspects of Brahman. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. All these theories are forged due to the wicked culture of the dogmaticians. Does that mean it's like really smart dogs or quantum physics or something like that? That's a dogmatician. Do they have to be in wheelchairs or it's not necessary? The reality is dormantly existing in these theories. Right? Okay. It means all these theories that have come up have been created due to the wicked culture or the atheistic culture of those who are able to create them. Right? And the reality means actual reality is included within them to some degree. Right? The Mayavadis are talking about Brahman, which is real. But how they're perceiving Brahman, that has you know, material effect. Right? Your monotheistic persons, then there's an element, yes, God is the supreme person and all this, he's all powerful, all this and that. But there's a defect because of their material senses. They can't see how he as a person can do all these control everything in the universe. Right? So they have to create other things. Then, or there's ones where the material energy is the source of everything and all happiness. You do the right things, you get the right benefit. There is a sense of truth in it because it's God's laws. You follow God's laws, you'll get a good result. You don't follow, you get a bad result. Right? Therefore, it has, but they don't attribute it to God. They attribute it to the material energy. Right? They'll say the soul only lasts one lifetime. But they accept that there is consciousness, there's something sentient that's real. But to say it only lasts one lifetime or will extinguish it, or it's part of the material energy. Right? All these different philosophies. So all these things are illusory. Right? Due to the weakness of material intelligence. Right? Make this some sense. Right? Means, why is it important to bring that point out? Because then you could say, well, if there's a point there, then maybe there's more, you know, something, you know what I'm saying? But the way to use that is not in that way. The way to use it is what is the point that's common with their idea of their philosophy and the reality of philosophy? That's the point by which you can take and expand and bring them to the real understanding. Does that make sense? That's what you're trying to do. So therefore, the element of Brahman you're working with. So that's the common point. Now, what is the nature of that Brahman? That's what you're trying to figure out. Or they accept the jiva, and you work with that. They accept the intelligence of the mind. Whatever they accept, you work with that. And with that, then you show what it is in its natural light. Does that make sense? Point is that why can you get a fire out of a spark? I take a spark and fan it, why can I get fire? Because it is fire. So therefore these philosophies and religion, that aspect within it that is real, that is the spark of the transcendental reality, that's the one we take and fan that. Right? And in the process we burn up everything else. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
Is the real undifferentiated Brahman the Brahma Jyoti?
Is the real undifferentiated Brahman the Brahma Jyoti? Yes, but the Brahma Jyoti is everywhere. So you're sitting in the Brahma Jyoti now. Is everything's in the Brahma Jyoti because Krishna, he has so unlimited qualities. So the effulgence from those qualities is Brahman.
So that means as he is everywhere, that fulgence is everywhere. So it's not, it means we'll categorize, okay, the space between the spiritual planets and the material world is just Brahman, because nothing else is happening there. So there we say that's Brahman, or that would be the natural state of one who is situated actually in Brahman, because he's not in the material world, he's not in the spiritual, he's in between. But Brahman is everywhere. That's why there's some sense of truth in it, that it's all Brahman, yes. But it's not undifferentiated, it's para-Brahman. That it's just God's qualities, which don't have the personal aspect, but the qualities of the person. That's why they work. Right? A quality can only work, is quality exists because there's a person who has it. And the quality works because of the person. But the quality itself is not personal. You know, happiness. You know what I'm saying? It's not personal. It's just a state of existence. But to actually experience happiness means an individual has to be performing an activity that generates that principle. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the action. So the mundane would say, well, because I am performing, this is karma kanda. Jaimini, because I do the activity and I get the and the higher authority has to give, therefore gives the result. I'm actually the center of activities. I'm the one that controls it. I do good, I'll get good. I do bad, I'll get bad. So it has nothing to do with God. It has to do with me. So they'll take it that they are the support, they are the shelter of the the kindness of the Lord. I mean, not the kindness, the duty of the Lord in which he gives the results of your actions. Does that make sense? But the point is what they're missing is no, the Lord is always independent. He's not dependent upon us for that. He can create, do whatever he wants, whether we're involved or not. So therefore, then the form that is manifested and the activities connected with that form, the results that come from that, that is in service or in pursuance of those qualities. You understand? And those qualities are of a person. So if it's happiness, then we're performing activities that generate happiness. But that generation is in service of the quality. And that quality belongs to the person. Right? So in other words, we're serving the external manifestation to attain the quality of Krishna for his pleasure. So that means we're making Krishna happy.
Does Krishna experience that?
Yes. He's a person. So you before you interact, he experiences it. The point is when he experiences it, that's when everybody else experiences it. Right? It means because the Virat Rup sees, therefore we can see. He doesn't see, we don't see. When he goes to sleep, then everything stops. And when in the morning he wakes up again, then everything starts again. So when he sleeps at night, that's what's going on. Everybody sleeps. And when he's awake and everything and performing action, that's when then we can do it. In other words, he's seeing first, then we're seeing. The difference is he's just seeing. We're attached to what we see. We think what we see is making us happy. Rather than it's the Lord's potency. That one allows us to see and what is being perceived. You know what I'm saying? So it's all the Lord. But we think it's something different. That's the illusion. Right? So you remove the illusion, then it's still you and the Lord. Right? Because there's not a problem with the concept of relationship. Right? While these extinctionalists, they have a problem with relationship. Because for them, if there's relationship, there's going to be misery, and they just want to be happy. To get rid of relationship, then everything's fine. So for them, spiritual means no relationships. Right? So when you understand everything is Brahman, then there is no distinction. Right? So then there's no activity. So there's no entanglement. It's what's only what's happening. You know what I'm saying? So based on the principle of God as a person, his potencies, the interaction of his potencies, the relationship, then they perceiving that, then their conclusion is that I will become, do nothing. Does that make sense? Right?
makes perfect sense, right? I mean, the statement I said makes sense, but the philosophy doesn't make sense. You want to have some fun with it just for a second? Okay, now take this into the thing. All action is going on and this and that in the house. You come in, it's nice, it's taken care of. There's dinner, it looks very, you know, everything's arranged, clothes are washed and all this. And then the man thinks, great, and now I can be the couch potato and do nothing. Understand? So where is this concept coming from? What philosophy? It's not Vaishnava. We'll give that as a clue. Right? Because it's impersonal. Right? It's monistic, because it's just all one, therefore there's no need of... It's just an illusion that I have to interact with the family. Like that. By not interacting, then I will be situated on that proper platform. You understand? So all it is parts of mundane thinking that go on in everybody's mind, but then they've just turned it into a very sophisticated philosophy. But otherwise, it's no different than the philosophy of the, you know, the guy, you know, down at the docks, you know, talking with his chums, you know, on how family life should go. There's no difference. Just one will consider one to be, you know, material, and one will be spiritual. But they're both material. It's just the application. Is that what you're saying? Yes.
So, only Krishna is Parabrahma.
Yes.
Everything else is Brahma.
That's one way you could say, yes.
And then, how you was explaining a little while ago about the qualities. So
because he's also the Brahman, he's not different from that. The point is this, he is Brahman, he is everything. Same time as he's separate.
Yeah.
So therefore, even on the Brahman flat, we're just Parama Brahman.
So the jiva, to differentiate the animate matter, I'm adding, you know, like non-jiva Brahman in this world.
Well, you have inanimate Brahman, then you have the, you know, infinitesimal jiva Brahman.
Yeah.
Right? Then you have the internal potency Brahman,
okay.
And then you have the para Brahman. So these four aspects are always there.
Okay.
God, his internal potency, the external potency, and the jiva. He's always manifest in these four. So it's all Brahman, but he is the para Brahman.
Okay.
Right? So the point is the internal potency is Brahman acting in its natural state in relationship to him. Right? Maya means as dead matter, it's just doing what it does, or not doing what it does. You know, no qualities or anything, that is pradhan, which is dead matter. So actually, their concept of Brahman is actually that of dead matter, which is the very thing they're trying to get away from. You know, is that. So that's why all this is so fun. It's because whatever they say they're trying to do, they're doing the exact opposite.
Man is actually formless. It's not only just form, it becomes spirit.
Yes. Only when Pradhan becomes Mahat, when Lord, you know, when Shiva's, you know, the principle Krishna enters in, you know, with the ego and the jivas of time. Right, because the consciousness is there, but it's that of I'm the controller and enjoyer. So you need time to actually perform action. Right? Because without action, there's not going to be any happiness like that. It means you can exist in a particular state, but that happiness is increased by action. You know, so that's we're over time. Okay. So we understand that we're coming to the conclusion. Today is what?
Tuesday.
They went to Thursday. No, Friday. No, Saturday. No, wait a minute. Okay, so then on Thursday we'll close this discussion of conditional consciousness like that, and then we'll start on constitutional like that. So that's coming up. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema. Expect it's going to be. See, darkest means this, the farther you are away from God, the more dark it is. So whatever it means, because they may be pious on one level, but on another level, who knows? But the point is they will be very far away from.
Those who come to that last one, and then we're called to his last.